We'll talk about some stuff today with Bill Beck of Talking Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS. And we're getting very close to being very close to Christmas.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Spirits up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on, the feeling's here, that only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song.
Now San Luis Diagnostic Center has a new MR scanner to meet everyone's needs. If you're somewhat claustrophobic or simply uncomfortable being placed in a small tube, you can choose the brand new 3 Tesla Open MRI. This new gold standard in MR imaging was previously available only at research institutions such as the Mayo Clinic. Now it's available locally at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the most open, ultra-high-field scanner in the world. And its state-of-the-art technology can diagnose disease far earlier, with radiologists specially trained in the interpretation of neurological and bone and joint diseases. San Luis Diagnostic Center offers an uncompromising combination of technology and physician expertise. The next time your doctor recommends that you have an MRI, insist on the best, the ultra high field open MRI, only at San Luis Diagnostic Center. All major insurances accepted.
It truly is the simple, everyday things that make life beautiful. The simple spring song of the robin, a child's laughter. Hearing loss can occur at any age, and Dr. Karen Scott at Karen Scott Audiology has an important reminder for you today. Have your loved one's hearing checked, today and often. But when you do, rely on a professional audiologist and not a walk-in center. A professional like Dr. Karen Scott and her team at Karen Scott Audiology, who have been serving our community for over 30 years with professional-level hearing aids, hearing testing, industrial screenings, and more. The birds are singing, the children are laughing, and the sounds are like poetry to your soul. This is not a gift to be left unattended. This is a gift to be nurtured and enjoyed for many years to come. That's what we do every day here at Karen Scott Audiology. Love your loved one today. Visit Dr. Karen Scott at 3220 South Higuera Street, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo, or call 541-1790 to schedule a hearing test today. For more info, visit us online at KarenScottAudiology.com. Hear a beautiful day.
Hear a beautiful day right here. Hear a beautiful day right here and where you are. And you're with Bill Beck. Talk is cheap, and I thank you for joining me on 1340 KYMS, your new station. Let's find out, according to the Tribune, about what's happened here in our past, okay? Our flashback, our highlights, our birthdays, whatnot. There's quite a few things today. Highlight in history, on December 4th in 1619, a group of settlers from Bristol, England, arrived at Berkeley Hundred in present-day Charles City, County, Virginia, where they held a service thanking God for their safe arrival. Some suggest this was the true first Thanksgiving in America ahead of the Pilgrim's arrival in Massachusetts. It's not worth fighting over. On this date, 1918, President Woodrow Wilson left Washington on a trip to France to attend the Versailles Peace Conference. 1942, U.S. bombers struck the Italian mainland for the first time in World War II. 1945, the Senate approved U.S. participation in the United Nations by a vote of 65-7. 1965, the United States launched Gemini 7 with Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Frank Borman and Navy Commander James A. Lovell aboard. 1979, San Francisco got its first female mayor as city supervisor Dianne Feinstein was named to replace the assassinated George Moscone. She's moved on, of course, and she's stuck there. 1991, Associated Press correspondent Terry Anderson, the longest held of the Western hostages in Lebanon, was released after nearly 7 years in captivity. Pan American World Airways Pan American Airways ceased operations. In 1996, the Mars Pathfinder lifted off from Cape Canaveral and began speeding toward Mars on a $310 million mile odyssey. It arrived on Mars in July of 1997. Our birthdays today, they include actor-singer Deanna Durbin is 91, game show host Wink Martindale is 79, actor Jeff Bridges is 63, actress Marissa Tomei is 48, actor-comedian Fred Amis, I don't know how to say his name, I have no idea. Armisen. It's 46. Rapper Jay-Z is 43. Actress, model Tyra Banks is 39. And actor Orlando Brown is 25. We'll say happy birthday to them and to you if it is your birthday today.
Happy birthday to you.
At Idlers, we are a family-owned company and we love where we live.
We are your neighbors.
We are How'd You Sleep Last Night?
Idler Sleep Source has the perfect beds for a perfect night's sleep.
Ready for perfect?
Try Sealy, Simmons Beauty Rest, Tempur-Pedic.
We have them all and more.
At every price.
Free delivery, free setup, free haul away, every day.
Paso,
San Luis Obispo,
Idlers.net.
Idler Sleep Source. Best prices guaranteed.
Here's the news you can use from CalcoastNews.com today. Firefighters who responded to the burned body of Disney Myers testified Monday about statements made by one of the defendants during a preliminary hearing on the murder of the 15-year-old Santa Margarita girl, according to Tribune. Trial rescheduled to begin February 4th will consist of five defendants and two juries, one of which will hear the death penalty case of Ty Michael Hill. His attorneys objected to evidence brought forth about statements made by Cody Lane Miller after the killing of Myers on September 26th of 2010. So they summoned the firefighters who encountered Miller while responding to a grass fire. Lieutenant California Fire Captain Emma Lawrenston said an agitated Miller approached him with his face covered in blood. He said he'd been hiding in the bushes and he didn't want to die and he needed help. And that's why he came to us, Lawrenston said. Miller seemed to be saying insane gibberish, seasonal firefighter Marshall Goodwin testified, but then he began to discuss the murder. He said they had murdered a little girl and that was what the fire was, and that they had forced him to carry the body, said seasonal firefighter Ernie Landros. Stephanie Danini of Cal Fire said Miller told the firefighters that the group that killed Myers had charged him with silencing her and that he had to put a sock in her mouth. The firefighters also testified that Miller said he carried Myers' body in a black duffel bag while she was still breathing, then chickened out, causing the others to beat him with a shovel. Afterward, Miller ran away and hid. First responders testified that they tried to get Miller to lie flat to treat him, but said he couldn't because Hill had raped him. According to court documents previously filed, the remainder of the group intended to kill Miller and bury him in the same pit as Meyer. His attorneys contend that Miller did not make credible statements to the firefighters and that he did not speak to them in a spontaneous manner. Defense attorney Bill McLennan asked the emergency personnel if they questioned Miller about the murder. Danini said they did in order to determine if Myers was still alive. Additionally, Deputy District Attorney Tim Covello confirmed in court Monday that a Pomo resident and defendant Jason Adam Greenwell will enter a plea in exchange for his testimony. Well, that was pretty fast. Other Calcos news. Plans are afoot for a nonprofit campaign transparency. Two California senators are seeking to require more disclosure of nonprofit campaign contributions in the aftermath of political campaign marked by secret out-of-state infusions of huge amounts of cash. Democratic Senators Ted Lieu and Leland Lee said their proposal is a response to an $11 million contribution made by an Arizona nonprofit to support Prop 32 and oppose Prop 30. Disclosure is now required only when a donation to a nonprofit is earmarked specifically for campaign use. Prop 32, intended to restrict how unions collect dues, was defeated. Prop 30 was Governor Jerry Brown's tax initiative, which passed. The Small Business Action Committee was ordered by a court to divulge its identity and donors just prior to the November 6th election. Laundering money through nonprofits in an attempt to avoid transparency is fundamentally undemocratic, he said in a statement. Our democracy should not be bought and sold in shady backroom deals. The bill will require a two-thirds vote of the legislature in order to pass. Paso Robles man was killed in a single vehicle accident on Highway 101 near Los Olivos early yesterday morning. According to the California Highway Patrol, Jorge Placencia Toro was headed south on the highway in a 1994 pickup truck when the vehicle drifted to the right shoulder, went up an embankment, rolled over. Toro died at the scene, was alone in the truck. Shortly after 4:30 in the morning, a semi-truck driver spotted the accident and called 911. CHP officers do not believe alcohol and drugs were a factor in that fatal accident. And at 12:19, you're up to the minute on CalcoastNews.com and 1340 KYNS, your news station.
CalcoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Your news station. You know, it's really kind of poopy out today. We're not supposed to have, like, a lot of sun, but we could have a little, don't you think? And then there's even some talk of possibly a rain shower tomorrow night. But the people up north are getting beat up again today. So we'll just kind of sit here and smile a bit. I saw one of the most amazing phenomenons. It was amazing to me, and maybe I amaze easily, just so you know. But it was something I'd never seen before, and I thought it was weird. We were over by, where did we go? We were over by Costco somewhere. Anyway, and so Nancy was in the building still, and I was outside in the parking lot. And about 100 crows went from east to west across this parking lot in groups of 20, 30. I was trying to count them as they went because they weren't in a hurry. But a total of about 100 crows. And I had never seen that. I didn't know that there was that large a group of crows. I know they're in, let's see, French Park. I know there's quite a few. In different places in San Luis, there's quite a few crows. But what's the name of the place? It'll kind of be Marigold Center. There's lots of crows over there in Marigold Center. But anyway, it was just very interesting. I hadn't seen that many crows on the move at one time. That and $7 to get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Okay, I tell you that. Okay. I did it. Now, here, can I do something with you? And I'll promise, okay? If it's really significant, like there's a leg sticking out or she's lost the thing or whatever, I'm not going to continue daily updates on the Duchess of Cambridge and what's going on with her pregnancy. You know, I have a feeling we're going to have that. I know, because it's already you know, she already had some dehydration problems and all that. So now, you know, they got to follow this thing. Is it okay? If it needs to be mentioned, I'll mention it, you know, but otherwise, it's not a daily news item, sir. Well, it's not to me. It will be to somebody. Okay, the GOP has a specific budget offer that's no good. So the fiscal cliff still looms. It looms because we, you know, nobody can figure it out. All right. Some Cal Poly grads got to get into a fundraiser by growing a mustache, which is that's a lot easier than like shaving your head. You know, it's pretty. And then so they got their mustaches shaved off. So there's a picture of that. 15 men were doing this for Men's Health and to aid prostate cancer groups. So that's good. We thank them for that. They got that device. Where is it? I forget which hospital. Sierra Vista. I'm pretty sure Sierra Vista. They got the prostate-o-matic thing where they line you up, they aim everything, and then they press a button and walk away, and this machine automatically takes your prostate out and does God knows what else to you. Guess it's supposed to be pretty good. Hard to say. There's no way getting your prostate taken not going to be good in the middle. Okay. And then another hideous news. Witnesses describe a drive-by killing. The guy, he was said he was in a car when a crowd shot into a group in Oceano. Okay, there we got Royal Baby on the way. That's what I'm telling you about. It's going to be really hectic. Okay. Sandy Benefit to be aired on 34 outlets. The 12-12-12 Hurricane Sandy Benefit concert will be broadcast across 34 U.S. and international television, radio, and internet across six continents. Producer said Monday that the concert will be available to 1 billion people across six continents. Eric Clapton and Coldplay have been added to the already stellar lineup on December 12th at Madison Square Garden, which also includes Bon Jovi, Bruce Springsteen, and the E Street Band, Paul McCartney, Kanye West, Billy Joel, Alicia Keys, Roger Waters, and others. Proceeds from the benefit go to the Robin Hood Relief Fund, which is helping victims of Sandy and hard-hit New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. So that's good news right there. Now, Cheney's working on a book about his heart, I guess. He's working on a book about his battles with the coronary problems. That doesn't sound real exciting. Okay. Maybe I'll have pictures. Maybe some photos would help of a crusty-looking heart. There you go. It'd help. Stand-up comedian and actor Cat Williams, who I probably have seen but it's not coming to me, has been released from jail after being arrested following a dispute at a Seattle bar. Police say he argued, oh, it's a guy. I wasn't thinking of a guy at all. Police said he argued Sunday with a patron at the World Sports Grill, menaced the manager with a pool cue, and flicked a cigarette into a woman's face through a car window. Well, this doesn't sound like a nice guy at all. Now, here was something I wanted to share with you, because I had a comment to make about it yesterday, and so here's the deal. Let me find it. All I have to do is find it, and then you and I can talk about it. It's just a matter of finding it, and I'll find it. But basically, it's what's happened is that some people are upset at Bob Costas for sort of on the halftime of the game the other day, of sort of doing a gun control issue. And I don't know why people, but you know, this is it would be seem an obvious thing to talk about, and if that was his take on it, then that would be his take on it. I think we're jumping to huge conclusions because we don't really know what's going on with this guy. At least nobody's told me yet what's going on with this guy, but that would be my thinking on that. And Bob Costas has been around sports long enough that he certainly has the to me the the background and the chutzpah to go ahead and speak his mind, and I would listen to him. I might not agree, but I certainly would listen to him. And it's the most varied thing I've ever had. This is the most buried story I ever lost. And I've lost some. I'll admit it. Sometimes I don't know where they went. But this time I really don't know where it went. All right. Lois Capspray is the officer who died with this panga boat thing, you know, this chief petty officer. Anyway, it's, what a shame. Just a shame. This was a big surprise. They just didn't expect it. Okay. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Costas takes fire for commentary. Bob Costas' Sunday Night Football halftime commentary supported gun control sparked a Fox News Channel debate Monday on whether NBC should fire him in a Twitter storm involving Ted Nugent, Rosie O'Donnell, Herman Cain, and many others. Costas said that the shooting has invoked the mindless sports cliche that something like this really puts it all in perspective. He paraphrased from a piece by Fox Sports columnist Jason Whitlock, if Jovan Belcher didn't possess a gun, he and Cassandra Perkins would both be alive today. And we don't know that that's remotely true, but okay, that's Bob's opinion and how I felt about it, so that's okay. I have no problem with other people's opinions. I don't know why. I should be bothered by them. I'm not. I'm glad they have one. I'd rather someone had an opinion I disagreed with than had no opinion at all. Although there's been times when I've had no opinion, I have to confess. I've been sitting on the fence going, I have no idea how to feel about this. But I think that's okay. I think when you get to a certain age, you're allowed that. I'm saying that you are. I'm declaring it as of today. So what is this? December 4th, and it's what time? It's 12:28, and as of that moment, I'm declaring that you have a right to not have an opinion about something if you don't want it. Now, let me tell you about this is going on right now, so I want to tell you about it. The Highway 101 northbound on and off ramps and the southbound off ramp at Marsh Street in San Luis Obispo will be closed today from 9 to 3, so it'll be closed to 3, as the city does signal work at the intersection of Higuera and Marsh Streets. It says you can call Caltrans and do all this. You don't need to call Caltrans, but I think it's just that's what's going on. Okay. That's what's happening there. They're probably putting one of those cameras in. Although lately, more and more, it seems legally these things become highly debated and all this. But anyway, we'll see. And then Atascadero, a much-used east side intersection in downtown Atascadero, will be closed early this month while new crosswalks are installed at the city's new transit center under construction. Closure will be set up at Capistrano and Lewis Avenues Tuesday through Friday, according to a news release from the city. Intersection is on the south side of the Lewis Avenue Bridge behind City Hall. How are they doing on City Hall? You know, we were up there. I said we went to the Galaxy Theater. First off, I want to tell you, let me just explain how it happened. But we turned around at the Sunken Gardens. We had to make a kind of a turn. And so we took the Sunken Gardens and all the scaffolding and everything's still there in the building. And there was punks. Young people. There were young people. There were young people gathered in an inappropriate way, I thought. That's okay. Yeah, young people, what the heck? Okay. Other things that are going on. Santa Margarita Lake's going to get an influx of money, $540,000 grant from. The reason I mention this to you really is because of this. From the California Department of Boats and Waterways. Did you have any idea we had a Department of Boats and Waterways? How do you get a job in that Department of Boats and Waterways? Anyway, I guess they got some money. So there you go. So the board's placed on its consent agenda. The board of supervisors to say, okay, do we want the money and what can we do? Yeah, fix it up. Fix something up there. Assemblyman Cacho Ashadian of San Luis Obispo was sworn into his second term yesterday. Clerkly named chairman of the Committee on Local Government in the Democrat-dominated assembly. So that's some of the stuff that's going on. And I'll be back. And you know who I'm going to play today is Leona Lewis.
This week, my Target shopping list is full of
Skylanders Giant Starter Pack with T-Rex.
And I'm also saving on
Granite Crusher.
Because this year, I'm saving big at Target. And that's huge.
Dream big, save bigger at Target. Exclusive Skylanders Giants Granite Crusher, only $14.99 while supplies last. Use your Target debit or credit red card to save an additional 5% on all electronics and get free shipping at Target.com. See program rules in store for 5% red card discount restrictions.
Up to 2 million Americans suffer from deep vein thrombosis each year. Many may look like the model of good health, but looks can be deceiving. While you may not see it, DVT is a blood clot usually found in your lower limbs. If the clot breaks loose and travels to your lungs, it may cause death. Each year, approximately 300,000 Americans die from DVT-related complications. My husband David was one of them. This is Melanie Bloom asking you to visit PreventDVT.org. Talk to your doctor. Learn the facts and risks.
Leon Lewis and Footprints in the Sand. You're Bill Benka, Talk of Chief Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station, and it's 1236, we'll call it right now. And the day is again, it's kind of up in the air. It's just supposed to be cloudy and nasty, but not rainy. Experts saying the flu is hitting hard and early. They say that this flu is a whammy, and so it's already starting to hit, and it's not a good one. The nation also had normally early season in 2009 also, but they said this is kind of a whole different affair. The strain influenza A H3N2 has been associated with more serious illnesses and hospitalizations than other strains. So now I just got a flu shot. So I should call the VA and say, did I get the AH3N2? Because if I didn't, that's the one you got to give me. What do I want one of the other ones for? That's the one I got to worry about. It's only a matter of time, they say, before it makes it to California. They haven't hit area yet. Plain vaccine is available, and 123 million doses have been distributed, and about 135 million doses expected to be produced this season. More than 112 million Americans have been immunized. I'm going to guess that what they gave me was the thing I need. Each year in the United States, 200,000 people are hospitalized. 36,000 people die because of flu-related illnesses. Kind of serious, yeah. It's like a Spanish flu. Okay, speaking of Spanish flu and wars and wartime and veterans and all that, Manhattan Project sparks, Manhattan Project Park stirs hot debate is the headline. And so here's what the whole story is. Where the Manhattan, where the nuclear bomb was, the atom bomb was invented, by Los Alamos, they want to preserve some of that area as a testament to what the people accomplished there. Now, the people that say, but it's a weapons of mass destruction is not good. I would promise you that those World War II veterans that are still alive that did not have to invade Japan will kiss the dirt that's right there. I'm serious. You have to understand. You really have to understand what it was going to be like. It was going to be really bad. So, good news is it's only been used once. See how long that lasts. And it ended a war. So I'm going with, if you want to preserve, their little log cabin was the head office thing. If you want to preserve it, preserve it. Now, here's something else going on with this military people. This is kind of cool. Well, actually, it's way beyond cool. Navy Corpsman Patrick Quill, because his two-year-old son, Zach, will win to receive a Silver Star Medal. There was three other Marines that are going to get the Silver Star Medal. Navy Secretary Ray Mabus also honored a fourth member of the Marine Special Operations Team in a rare public ceremony for those who have served in the covert forces. Marine Sergeant William Sutra Jr. received the Navy Cross, nation's second highest honor, and that's a big deal getting the Navy Cross, let me tell you. So anyway, it was a special unit, and they did good things in Helmand Province in July of 2010. There was a battle that spanned over 2 days. I can't think of hardly anything in the military more important than acknowledging someone's sacrifice. I mean, it's hugely important, It's important that we recognize it, but it's really important that the service makes sure they do. All right, we're warning Syria about the chemical and biological weapons, and don't do it. So that still remains the way it is. Let me see, I got a story that I want to share with you here. This is one of these tragic stories that you wonder about.
Danny, he said, "No, it's never going to be okay. I can't feel my legs, Grace."
That was 2 months ago. Today, Grace Kaner is fighting for her husband Sandy, who's running out of time to heal. Still in a hospital, he lost some of his organs. Two bullets destroyed them and severed his spinal cord. He's beat a near fatal infection and pneumonia. Clinically died on the operating table. His brain deprived of oxygen. This brilliant lawyer and musician, who received academic and athletic honors at Yale, is now unresponsive. Insurance says it's time for a nursing home.
I don't feel that my husband should have to suffer because he was shot in our driveway. He's a completely innocent victim in all of this.
Grace wants Sandy to have hyperbaric oxygen treatments to heal his brain. Their 8-year-old Phoebe has cerebral palsy. 90 dives in the chamber changed her.
The first time Dr. Harch interviewed Phoebe, she could not even climb up on the examining table. Now she is writing, she is thriving, she's reading, she's doing things that I never thought she would be able to do.
Sandy only got 12 oxygen treatments, and new cell phone video shows he now responds to commands.
Now he's able to make eye contact, good eye contact. He generally looks in better health, and he looks more awake and alive.
To see real brain changes, a minimum of 40 treatments are needed, but the clock runs out tomorrow. Insurance and even some doctors don't believe in hyperbaric oxygen for the brain. Hospital coverage, where the chambers are, will stop. Grace now scrambles to file an appeal and to find a facility that will stimulate him to heal. Sandy has turned the lives of at-risk youths around through the Big Brothers and the AmeriCorps program City Year. This Connecticut transplant believed in rebuilding New Orleans after Katrina. Now his teen son feels his daddy is slipping away.
He's scared. We're all scared. I'm scared for my husband. I'm scared because we had a beautiful life together. He's my best friend.
This woman, Grace Kaler, she's got a lot on her plate between her husband and her daughter. That's really kind of a big deal. All right, let's see what else is going on here. Let's find out what else is happening. I should have included this all at one time, and I apologize for not doing so. The Pentagon has growing a network of spies. I found out today. Now you're going to say, Bill, that can't be true. That can't be true. I talked to a veteran who I've known for a long time, but he revealed something today that he had never revealed before, and that is the Russians were doing it, the Germans were doing it, countries were doing it, so America did it. And you know what that was? In the very beginning of the 60s, he was actually serving his country in the military at the age of 14 years old. And it was all top secret stuff with the CIA. They actually took a Boy Scout troop, and they said, here, you're inducted in the service. And they went into Cambodia and Laos long before we ever thought about all that stuff. And they planted, I don't know what. He said, we'd do this, we'd surveil it, we'd write things down, we'd make notes, and then we'd leave the package. So I said, what does that mean, you left the package? And he said, well, I can't say what that was. But anyway, so I have no idea to this day what left the package is. So... but I know somebody else who said they had a friend that pretty much mirrored that exact same thing and then added it. I could tell you what it was, but I'd have to kill you. But, I mean, so I'm truly believing this story about what happened, but it was just very, very kind of odd. So here we have this new story today about Pentagon's going to grow a network of spies. I don't know how old they're going to be. Defense Intelligence Agency will rival CIA in size with many collectors overseas. So this is kind of interesting. We're doing a lot of looking, so it's just really quite an amazing affair. All right, now let me see what else I got here I want to share with you. There was another story I wanted to share, and it is right here. I have it. I'm going to share it with you. By the way, you're with Bill Benneke. This talk is cheap on 1340 KYMS, your news station. I should get a thermometer so I know what the temperature is outside. I bet I could spring for a thermometer. I moved the clock over to the other wall there just because I figured, what am I keep looking that way for when I can look straight ahead? Okay, so here was a story here that was, and with Cal Poly, you know, right here in San Luis Obispo, I think it's a very important story and one we should pay attention to.
CNN.
Radio.
Last spring, with some fanfare, Secretary of Education Arne Duncan announced a change.
Today, for the first time ever, an administration is releasing guidance under Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972, explaining how schools and colleges should deal with sexual violence.
I'm CNN's Emily C. Bordeaux, and the new policies Duncan announced, they were remarkable, but they passed with little notice.
Every school would like to believe it's immune from sexual violence, but the facts suggest otherwise. According to one widely referenced study, one in five women is sexually assaulted while in college.
And the problems for survivors don't end after the assault. They often struggle to find justice within their college community, to complete their classes, and even to feel safe.
We know that if children and young people aren't safe, they can't learn. It's as simple and as fundamental a priority as that.
Which means that if schools don't provide justice and support for survivors, they are violating federal law. Basically, the problem of sexual violence is big enough, is pervasive enough, that failure to address it bars women from equal access to education. On the University of Louisville's campus, there's another sign of how pervasive the problem of sexual violence is. It's a Take Back the Night rally. It's a gathering aimed at putting an end to sexual violence. And these rallies with chants and bell tolls, they've been happening since the 1970s. And of course, the problem still exists. But standing in front of the stage in Louisville, their power is evident when survivors take the mic.
It's terrifying to come to a group of people that are your peers and that judge you and tell them something so personal about yourself, not knowing them at all.
Georgia Turner is a petite but powerful looking sophomore, and she decided to speak out publicly tonight for the first time.
In August, right before my freshman year began, I went to my very first college party. I had never been to any parties before. I was valedictorian in my high school, spent most of my time like studying, and playing soccer was my only extracurricular activity. So parties for me weren't even an option.
Turner doesn't quiver when she tells her story, but her voice does drop a little bit. She doesn't remember what actually happened that night, just how she felt in the morning.
I had bruises all over my body, and I really knew, you know, it's a feeling, you know, and I knew I'd been raped. I literally spent a lot of the time making myself throw up and trying to get whatever had happened to me out of my body and scrubbing all my bruises. I showered a lot because I felt like it was going to make me view myself as less of a dirty person. I actually took all the mirrors down out of my dorm, unscrewed the one from the cabinet because I didn't want to look at myself. And it was a really rough month.
Eventually, Turner found help. And she smiles when she talks about her future plans for law school. Not all survivors get to this point, though.
The bottom line is many rape victims in college drop out.
Nancy Schwartzman makes movies, documentaries actually, and she travels around the country showing them on college campuses. After her screening on the University of Louisville's campus, several students came up to tell her privately about their own experiences with trauma. That's something she gets everywhere she goes.
I know that some institutions get nervous if people report more because then their numbers are bigger. And then it looks like, whoa, if I go to this school, there's all these rapes. But actually, there's ignorance around that, because if people are reporting, it means it's a safe place to report. So just because the numbers are small does not mean it's not happening. Most likely, it means it's not a very safe environment to report.
And on this campus, Sharon LaRue is the woman in charge of helping survivors feel safe, helping them get what they need.
One of the things that we know that helps people heal is, you know, they've been, their control has been taken from them. Someone has taken the control over their body from them. And we know what helps them heal is to have control over the decisions after that.
Control is just so important, LaRue says, which is why she is somewhat cautious about the changes announced by Secretary Duncan.
It's never the same. You know, what fits for me might not be what fits for the student. And my goal is to give them back the power and the voice to say, here's what I want to happen.
For example, LaRue says some students may just want to go on with their lives. They might not want to report the crime to police, and some students, their idea of justice might be an apology and an explanation for why they were hurt. So what worries her is a potential expansion of mandatory reporters under the new guidelines.
So we give our students options to go to places.
That's Mary Elizabeth Miles, who is tasked with looking over the new regulations and making sure University of Louisville is in line. Now, she says she doesn't expect big changes. The university was already doing much of what the new rules ask for.
So I think that we have struck a nice balance in making this as comfortable as possible in a bad situation for our students.
But of course, these new rules, they don't just impact this campus. They are meant to standardize responses around the country. All colleges and universities will need to offer assistance to survivors, let them move dorms, drop classes as needed, or even provide security for them. And all campuses will need to provide transparent and speedy justice. If they don't, there's the risk of losing federal dollars. And in recent months, several high-profile investigations at Yale and Notre Dame, and there's one ongoing at the University of Montana, they've all shown that the agency is watching closely. Back at the rally in Louisville, most of the students have left. The stage has been broken down and streetlights have come on. It's getting dark. Georgia Turner, that sophomore from earlier, she still can't stop smiling.
I was so nervous, and it freaks me out to think that I was ever nervous in the first place because I feel so good about it now.
And with that, Turner walks off into the night, stopping to accept hugs from the students milling around. And this is the kind of ending officials hope will become more common as these new rules get put into place all around the country. Emma Lacey Bordeaux, CNN.
Important stuff, and I'm glad I had a chance to share that with you. It is 8 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. Here with Bill Bankett, talking Sheep, Friends, and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. Here was a let me go backwards first to make sure I didn't miss anything, because I miss things sometimes. Oh yeah, I did miss a whole lot of stuff. Tensions between Israel and the West grows, you know, wit's end about what to do about Israel and Palestinians, Israel and Iran. Israel and the U.S. It's not easy keeping a democracy going. It's that tiny in a place like that. You know, it's really, really, it's really kind of, you rub shoulders funny. March is planned in Egypt for today. The political crisis is widening with plans for a huge march and a general strike Tuesday to protest a, tomorrow, a hurried drafting of a new constitution and decrees by President Mohamed Morsi that gave him newly unrestricted powers. Now, there's a lot of people that aren't too happy about unrestricted powers. Now, this is a, you know, they have an editorial, which we'll get to, but basically it has to do with the capital punishment thing and the fact that we voted to keep it in California, and so they say it's a waste of time and money and all that kind of stuff. Okay, we've talked about that. But here's an interesting thing right here. The detectives have long wondered what secret serial John Wayne Gacy and other condemned murderers took to the grave when they were executed, particularly when they had unknown victims. Now, in a game of scientific catch-up, the Cook County Sheriff's Department is trying to find out by entering the killer's DNA profiles into a national database shared with other law enforcement agencies if they can find out if they committed other murders that we don't know about. So this is the cold case thing. Good news, squid, Half Moon Bay, right here. Here's the story of Half Moon Bay. And you're going to say, well, is it have to do with mavericks? No, it has to do with squid. The fishermen have hauled in a record number of as ocean conditions for the third straight year, helped them net the quota earlier in the season than normal. And so hopefully we'll see the price of calamari going down. I doubt it. How are they doing catching lobsters? Can we get the price of that down? I'm just checking. All right. Other people on the news, I don't know what to say about this. I don't know if she was really hurt. I don't think she was really hurt, but now there's a lawsuit involved in all this stuff. The girl was at a SeaWorld in Atlanta, Georgia, an 8-year-old, and they have a place you can go feed the dolphins. You get right up to the thingy and you put them in your hand and you feed the dang dolphins. But they say something like, don't do certain things, but she did it anyway. And so the dolphin grabbed her hand. I think the dolphin was going for some fish in a little cardboard affair. And the dolphin also got her hand and scared the bejeebers out of her, of course. She said it really hurt, too. Anyway, so it has to do with the paper cartons, like I said. They're used to hold the fish, the children, others feed the thing. Jones' parents say parkgoers may not realize the risk involved in feeding dolphins, which is why they post the video on YouTube, so parents can decide for themselves whether it's safe. This is the precursor, of course, to a lawsuit that's going to get handed down there. There's no question about it. Of course, anytime you're involved personally, if you're a parent, this is what really bothers me a lot, I have to tell you honestly. If you're a parent and you have wild animals, and a dolphin's a wild animal, and you, in essence, are putting your child at some risk, saying, okay, if you want to do this, you know, if I decide you can do this, I'm putting you at some risk. And then for the parents to then turn around and always say, it was their fault. It was their fault. It wasn't all their fault. Sorry. That's how I feel about it. I'm not changing my mind either. All right, so they had a perspective from Stockton record of the death penalty lives on despite waste, how much it costs. It's ridiculous. We've only had 13 executions since 1978. And it goes on and on with the usual stuff. With all this means, unless things change, we will continue to go nowhere fast on this issue, and we're going to continue wasting time, energy, and money on this broken system. So, what's really weird is everybody seems to throw up their hands, which I find this is quite remarkable, to tell you. Everybody throws up their hands. It's like, well, it can't be fixed. It just can't be fixed. Is that possible? Have we created a system that's so bizarre that we can't change it? I mean, is it that set in cement that you can't change it? Seems to me that's kind of ridiculous. It seems to me that's a kind of a cop-out, tell you the truth. No, it just can't be fixed. Could be. I think it could be fixed. Anyway. Mike's upset again about the bag ban. He's really upset right there. He says, we got to get rid of this ill-conceived bag ban. He says, I get bags all over the store, and then at the time to check out, I don't have a bag. So I went to the liquor store, didn't have a bag. So they said, here, do you want a bag? And she said, no, I don't pay a dime for a bag. So he handed the bottle, and he said, I thought it was illegal to just walk out of the liquor store with a bottle of liquor. I'm not sure. He says he doesn't think that people have thought it through. Oh, there's no question they haven't thought it through. That has to do with lots of things that are thrust upon us. You know, they haven't been thought through at all. All right, right here, what do we got here? Here's the thing right here. Okay, aging Democrats hang on to power. I mentioned Dianne Feinstein. We did the first thing this morning when she became mayor. Anyway, so you got all these people that are just old crusters, you know, that are Democrats hanging on here in all different places. L.A. mayors and everybody. So anyway, we got a little old crusters is what we have. Anyway, and they're old white crusters. We used to have, at least we had, what was the guy's name? Brown? What was his name? Joey Brown? No, whatever his name was. He was at least a character of a different color. All right, so here's somebody who's written, this is Steve Provost, who is a Tribune copy editor, and so this is what his article was about today, was it's really the attitude that matters at Christmas time, not so much of whether you say Merry Christmas, whether you say Happy Holidays, whether you say Happy Yule time, Happy whatever it is. I think, to be honest, we just say it more than we mean it. He didn't really address that. I think we just say it. It's something that it's you know, holiday time, so we say, you know, season's greetings. Then there's this debate about, you know, if you say season's greeting, you're taking the Christ out of Christmas, and if you say Merry Christmas, then you insult some Jewish guy. I mean, it's just poppycock, to tell you the truth. It's not worth thinking about. And that's the one thing he is saying, is the attitude that matters. And I agree with him very much. Just say whatever you're going to say and just live with it. You know what I mean? The people will appreciate that you're saying that. If someone said to me, for whatever reason, they said, Bill, I want to wish you a happy Hanukkah, I'd say thank you very much. I wouldn't go, I'm not Jewish. I would just say, okay, thank you. That salutation that's directed at me, it's being nice to me. I don't mind having somebody be nice to me. I like it. So I'm feeling good about that. They mentioned yesterday, now this is odd, U.S. manufacturing is at a 3-year low, which is not good, but what's great is that Superstorm Sandy's impact added up to 30,000 sales in November, and the records of the storm should drive sales for several months, so people are having to buy cars and cars and cars and cars and cars and cars and cars, so the car industry's just taken off, and of course they're very happy, smiling, and it's good. Can understand that. But here's the other thing I'm going to caution you. You know, this, I don't know what a Carfax ever looks like. I might have to go see my friend Jim at Sunset Honda and say, Jim, run a Carfax for me so I see what they look like, so I can talk to you intelligently about it. But I would put out the precaution once again of cars that could possibly have flooded and not been destroyed, but they have been declared no good by the insurance company, and yet somehow they end up back into the market. I'd be very cautious. Other things, Pfizer's laying off some in the sales. They say that their sales are down. And, you know, at Pfizer, you only need one person to just take orders, and you're going to make $1 million. So I can understand why they'd lay some people off and say, well, we got a problem with that. Anyway, let's do CBS News next.
Someone once told me that you have to choose what you win or lose. You can't have everything. Don't you take chances, you might feel the pain. Don't you love in vain, 'cause love won't set you free. I could stand by the side once this life passed me by. So unhappy, but safe as could be. So what if it hurts me? So what if I'm breaking down? So what if this world just throws me off the edge? My feet run out of ground. I gotta find my place. I wanna hear my sound. Don't care about all the pain in front of me, 'cause I'm just trying to be happy. Just wanna be happy, yeah. Holding on tightly, just can't let it go. Just trying to play my role. Slowly disappear. But all these days I feel like they're the same. Just different faces, different things.
Leona Lewis. You're Bill Bennett at Talkers Cheap Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. I'm sure glad you're along. Hey, we got all kinds of stuff going on out there. You got things going on out there and here. We got stuff. Here's what they do in sports. Now, you might say, well, this is really kind of cool because it adds to the excitement of it. And so they take the three Heisman Trophy finalists, Johnny, I hope I say their names right, Johnny Manziel, Manti Te'o, and Colin Klein. So they fly them back to New York, all of them, and then all of a sudden they have a big ceremony, and then they say, and the Heisman Trophy winner is, then two of the guys have to fly back moping. You know, they didn't win. I don't know if I'd want to go to New York to find out I lost. Just tell me on the phone. Well, it had nothing to do with flying either. Let's just say that, you know, you had a teletransporter there that you step in, all that, and hope flies weren't in there with you. Okay, so if that all worked out. But anyway, I guess it adds to the excitement of the whole thing. I can't remember the name of it. I can't remember the name of it even. But if I see it tomorrow, I'll write it down. There's another new awards ceremony in Hollywood going on. It's not going on now. But there's a new awards ceremony called something else. I forget the award for nice people or something. I don't know what. I can't remember what it was, but I'll write it down. Because heavens knows we don't have enough of those award shows. Well, those people don't know how good they feel about themselves or not. hey, let's do some leftover stuff and find out what else is going on. Let me first see here on CNN what I want to share with you, because there was some stuff here. Some I don't. I was hoping this would be a regular story, but they it says turning $5,000 into $1 billion with panties. I have to admit, that's intriguing, but I don't know if I really want to get involved in it. All right, so we'll see what happens with that. Other things that are in the news. Now, as you may have heard, this was sort of late news yesterday. Iran says they've seized a U.S. drone. The United States says, no, they haven't. So I don't know. Was it Iran when we lost the other one? It just went down in one piece? Was that Pakistan? Where was that? Maybe it was Pakistan. Anyway, it was one of our top secret jobs, and it just went down, which is kind of really weird. Okay. Oh, I know there was a story in here about a guy who got a job claiming he was a vet, which those of us that are in that find really disgusting, but okay. You know what's weird, and I would guarantee you that it's this way with other people too. It's not a matter of even yourself. You know what I mean by that? You don't sit there and go, well, I did my time, and this guy didn't do his, but he said he did. You know, there's an interesting thing that happens with the military. You become a collective. You know, you become a, you know, they talk about, you know, this solidarity and becoming a unit. But you really do. You really do. You know, you, when something might happen, something did happen in the service, and you'd say we. You know, it might not have been we at all. It might have been somebody. But, you know, it would be like this happened to us. This happened to us, not to one person or something like that. So it's just kind of interesting. So anyway, so when I say it to you this way, when somebody says, okay, I'm going to play the game and say I was in the service, it bothers a veteran because of everybody that's a veteran. Anyway, let me see. I don't know if I can find this thing anymore. I will say this, that people were, I've received some feedback on playing that whole North Korean prisoner camp thing. Oh, my God. Then everybody said it was a good thing to play. It was, like, amazing. Just amazing. Well, I find everything but what I want, so I apologize. Okay, that's fine. All right. Had the subway story, which was really weird. This guy getting pushed in front of the subway and he died. He got caught between the subway and the platform, which is a space of about, 6 inches. So that can't be good. You never know what it is you're looking at when you're looking at it half the time. That's the problem. Okay, that's the problem right there. You never know what you're looking at half the time when you're looking at it. Okay, let's get back to this. Let's get back to the paper. Let's get back to what's going on in our world. Okay. They had undercover, that's not what you call it, surveillance video from a hospital of a woman whose daughter needs constant chemotherapy if she's going to make it at all, and mom decided she was going to take her out of the hospital and whisk her away. So now they don't know where she is. So that can't be good. That can't be good at all. Okay. So we have, Egypt's a mess right now because you got people rallying for Morsi, you have people rallying against the guy. It's like, you know, there's just no way to understand, you know, where that's going to end up. Now, here was an interesting story about the general loses its rank as number two, number three in the whole wide world. It's lost to the president, a 54,000 cubic foot gargantuan not far from the Grant, who is the biggest one in Sequoia National Park. So anyway, I don't know what made the other tree stop growing and then have the other one shoot up. I'm not exactly sure what understands that. There it is right there. We talked about the cars that are being sold because of Hurricane Sandy and how that's, you know, going to pay off for some people. But then here you have the problems that you have, like cold and mold loom as health hazards in the wake of Superstorm. Can you imagine what a mess it is? You know, when they show people being interviewed, a lot of them have already taken the drywall that was the lower part of their drywall that got flooded. They've already taken it out. And then I wait for somebody else to come in and patch it together, I guess. Wow. And think how hard that's going to be. I mean, think how busy it's going to be and how you're going to have to wait your turn and all that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, that's just kind of obvious, I guess. Now, here was a story I want to share with you that said a brain disease is showing up a lot in football players. And so I'll tell you what the story is when I get to it. Mortgage catching, snaring widows. Here's what happened. A lot of men and women, especially older men and women, they have a mortgage, but they unfortunately they have put it in the husband's name. So the husband dies, and then the wife is in sad shape, but her name's not on the lease. And most of these programs that try to help you out, you know, and change, you know, your finance and all that stuff, they insist that both people be on it, that person's name be on it. If your name's not on it, they're like, well, that's got nothing to do with you. Well, so now they're trying to sort out what they're going to do to fix that. They say there's no measure of how many widows have entered the foreclosure because of that, but they just say they know for sure there's been thousands. Interviews with elder care advocates, housing lawyers, and borrowers suggest that the problem is spreading fast across the country, propelled by an aging population. So it's you know, more of what we don't need. Okay, so this is going to be Gupta, Sanjay Gupta, who's going to tell us after this what's going on there. We might have to hear a commercial first, and if it's something that you won't know what it is, I'll explain it to you. I know that sounds weird, but if I try to cue it up right to the thing, problems beyond anything you've ever imagined. So I don't do that.
When Subaru owners look
Subaru,
better,
at least you know what it is.
More than themselves.
Subaru.
That's why we created the Share the Love event. Get a great deal on a new Subaru, and $250 goes to your choice of five charities. Visit Subaru.com to learn more.
Football fans and players, they are all saddened and they're baffled by a murder-suicide involving an NFL linebacker over the weekend. Javon Belcher shot himself in the head outside the practice facility of his team, the Kansas City Chiefs, after killing his girlfriend, the mother of his child. CNN's Ed Lavandera spoke with Belcher's coach and some of his teammates who are now struggling to try to figure out why this happened.
Young age, high-profile jobs. He's a young father. I mean, did you ever get the sense that he was struggling to kind of deal with all, you know, pressures?
We never seen anything. He never gave up a sign like he couldn't handle anything or pressure was getting too much. He was always happy.
Did Javon Belcher ever express to you any troubles that he was having in his personal life?
No major troubles in his life. Everybody has some issues in their personal life. I mean, all of us here have issues in our personal life, and everybody handles issues differently. He seemed like a strong-willed individual to me. He's a leader. He was sitting in the front of the classroom. He's the first to the drills.
Some wonder if Belcher might have suffered from a brain trauma, a very serious problem for NFL players who repeatedly get hit in the head. We don't know if that's the case right now, but there is a new study on brain trauma. Let's bring in our chief medical correspondent, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, a neurosurgeon. He's done extensive reporting, researching, on this subject. Sanjay, what is the study saying specifically? Is it more definitive evidence in this study of a link between repeated brain trauma and this brain disease?
Well, you know, definitive is a tough word in science because that establishes a very direct cause and effect relationship. Keep in mind, when you look at these, for several years now, these brains have been studied of players who have died, sometimes prematurely. Their brains are studied, but oftentimes they were studied because there was some sort of suspicion in the first place. So it biases the study a little bit, and that's what, you know, a lot of researchers are saying. Be a little bit cautious when interpreting these results. But it's pretty compelling stuff, Wolf. As you mentioned, I've been investigating this for some time. There have been a lot of players over the years that you are familiar with, that we heard about. Dave Duerson, for example, you know, he had written a letter about this. He served on some of the committees that evaluated head injuries. And he is someone who himself donated his brain. He said he committed suicide but left a note saying he was going to donate his brain. John Mackey, the same sort of thing. I think one of the most compelling things about this study, Wolf, I read it, is that they're now looking at this in stages. So instead of saying someone has chronic traumatic encephalopathy or they don't, they're actually creating stages, stage one to stage four example, to sort of give an indication of severity. And as you might guess, Wolf, it's sort of based on usually how many of these injuries, blows to the head you've had, and how long typically you've been playing football in this case, Wolf.
So can we presume, Sanjay, that someone in the later stage of the disease is at the highest risk of suicide?
You know, you would think that, Wolf, but and I ask the same question, but not necessarily. And this makes it a little bit more confusing. Probably more research is needed. But, Wolf, let me show you a couple of images here, for example. This might show you what we're talking about specifically. On the left is a normal brain. On the right is the brain of a 21-year-old person who did commit suicide. Up in that upper right corner, again, of the brain on the right, you see that dark spot, Wolf? That's what we're talking about. That's a deposit of protein. It's very similar to someone, for example, who has Alzheimer's disease, but it's just that one spot. Early stage disease, this person did commit suicide. Take a look at the next set of images, Wolf. Again, you're going to have a normal brain on the left. You can see probably right away with just even the naked eye how much more disease there is in this brain. A 50-year-old, it's actually the brain of Dave Duerson, and he also committed suicide. So it's a little bit tough to say that the stage absolutely correlates to, you know, the outcome here, in this case suicide. That's an area that needs to be researched more, Wolf.
Does having a history of head trauma, Sanjay, or concussion automatically mean you're going to be diagnosed with CTE?
You know, Wolf, of the 35 football players, for example, again, keeping in mind these were people who probably had some suspicion of this, but of those 35 players, 34 did have it. Of the 85 brains that were studied in total, some of this include athletes, but also military veterans who had head injuries during the battle, about 75% of them had evidence of CTE. It's a little bit hard to say, again, just how likely you are to develop this if you are an athlete, if you have these sort of blows to the head for any different number of reasons. But again, the numbers are becoming increasingly compelling. When I first started investigating this, only a small number of brains have been examined. And now you're getting, you know, dozens and dozens of brains, and you're seeing this. I asked Dr. McKee, who's one of the authors of this study, had she ever seen anything else that could cause this sort of phenomenon in the brain? And she said no. She thinks this is almost absolutely the result of repeated blows to the head, Wolf.
Here's a tough question for you, Sanjay. You've researched this issue. You're a neurosurgeon. If parents come to you and say, should we let our son, who's in junior high or high school, play football, what do you say?
I'd say you can, except there are two very important things, and I spent a lot of time thinking about this. One is that, you know, a significant number of these blows to the head occurred during practices, not just games. Drills, where you're banging your head over and over again into another person or into an immovable object of some sort, that could, if you reduce that, you could dramatically reduce the number of blows to the head. Also, the idea that someone who has a concussion or is somehow, you know, had a brain injury, as we call it, as a result of football, that they be allowed to play only after the brain is completely healed. And there are sophisticated tests and exams to be able to determine that. A player should never go back in unless the brain is completely healed. Those two things, I think, have to be absolutely the culture of football, Wolf.
Sanjay Gupta with some good advice for parents out there. Appreciate it, Sanjay, very, very much.
As a matter of fact, you know, Michael Vick had a concussion here about 3 weeks ago. They're not letting him back in. They're going to keep the backup quarterback and stuff. So, you know, it's not. I want to say it's not like the NFL isn't paying attention. It sounds like they really are paying attention, but it's going to be interesting to see what's going to come out of all this. Right now, it is 1:28, and you're with Bill Benica. Talk is cheap. Friends and Neighbors Network. Other things going on. Other things that are happening. There's stuff happening here. Tell you what's going on. Oh, I just had a second. I had this right here. Now, this might, the little girl that got bit by the dolphin, she's going to be really happy about this. But anyway, here's the trained Navy dolphins are losing out to robots. So the Navy has had a fleet, is that what you call them? What do you call them? A fleet, a zoo, whatever they are. They've had, the Navy spent $28 million since the late 50s, and they've had 80, they currently use 80 bottlenose dolphins and 40 California sea lions. In recent years, they've been deployed to Iraq and Bahrain to patrol for enemy divers and mark locations of mines. So they can figure out if a mine's up high, if a mine's down low, if a mine's buried. These little guys can do that. But now they say there's robots that can do the same thing. And you don't have to have a big tank of water and feed him funny sardines and get bit on the hand. So that works out right there. All right. This was, who knows, I don't even know what to think. Here's one of those times I go. The judge in Los Angeles, the actress who appeared in that anti-Muslim film, you know, the pathetic thing that they made right there, and the Innocence of Muslims, she's trying desperately to get that thing off of YouTube. Because she's worried about her own life, which you can understand, because she said she was never told about it had anything to do with Muslims. It never had to do with it. It was something totally different, is what she's saying. So anyhow, and she wasn't paid a fortune to do this, by the way. So anyhow, she's went to the court and said to the judge, you know, can you take this down from YouTube? And the judge said, it's going to stay. So but you notice when these things flare up in the Mideast, then they get over them real quick. You know, I'm not quite sure. There's a certain temper tantrum that's kind of associated, I think, with Muslims, apparently.
When they arrived at the sheds, a crowd of women erupted into shouting and booing. Marta was right. We're more organized than ever. They carried signs that said, "Huelga, strike!" They were yelling, "Help us feed our children!" When Esperanza saw their menacing faces, she wanted to run. She wanted to tell them that her mother was sick, that she had to pay the bills. Then maybe they'd understand why she needed her job. But she knew that it would not matter, agreed with them. When the guard wasn't looking, one of the strikers picked up a rock and threw it, barely missing a woman's head. Esperanza's heart was beating wildly as she and the women took their places. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Esperanza Rising by Pam Munoz Ryan. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
This is your Consumer Energy Minute. Turn on the light to energy efficiency just by paying attention to the kind of light bulb you use without losing comfort and security. Switching from incandescent to incandescent halogen or compact fluorescent is the first step. Common sense and turning off unneeded lights will always work. Appointing a family member to be in charge of turning off the lights is a good team approach, and rotate the duties so everybody builds awareness. Lighting controls such as dimmers and photosensitive controls allow you to reduce wattage and react to available light. With the consumer lighting options available today, a little planning and being an educated consumer can help you save money. Learn more at our website at AmericanLightingASSOC.com. That's www.AmericanLightingASSOC.com. A public service of this station and the American Lighting Association.
Just put a statue feeling. summer let you go so I can be free.
Better in Time, Milt Lewis, and Bill Beck, the Talker's Chief Friends and Neighbors Network. It's 25 now before hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday. December 4, as we approach Christmas with a bang, with a roar, the sound of our credit card being beat to death. Something like that. Anyway, that we're looking forward to the season. I have a nice time at Christmas time. I just say, you know, it's everything's cool. I just have a good time. All right. And it's really special if you're associated with little kids. You know, not your own, of course, at this age, but you know, like your nieces, nephews, that kind of. Did you give them the kids go nuts over stuff? They get a lot of stuff, like I said. They pick the right thing. It's fun to watch. All right, let's talk about other things that are going on in our world. Talk about what's happening here. I tried to, the whole time Leon Lewis was going on there, I was trying to wrestle another story for you that I thought you'd want to hear, but I tell you, this wasn't cooperating whatsoever. It's not cooperating now. So maybe there's no way to get cooperation. All right, now, here's what's going on. That's the State Coast Conservancy. Will meet tomorrow and Thursday in Avila to tour the area and consider awarding a $400,000 grant to Port San Luis to help with efforts to establish a campground there. You know, the Harbor Terrace development thing. Okay, well, they want to, you know, they want to put a campground in there. And I think it'd be kind of a fun place. It would be full all the time. But anyway, under the new approach, the district would have until about 2023 to refund the grant using revenue as it collects from the campground. After that, the conservancy would receive a small portion of the annual revenues from the campground, about 2.5%. So it's not a loan, McGar said. He said the agency grant will fund the entitlement portion of the project. There you go. Okay, that's McGrath, not McGarth. Dave McGrath. Steve McGrath. I know the guy. I got his name completely wrong. Steve McGrath. All right, so that's what he's saying. There's a way to get it done. And then we should, if that's the case right there. All right. They say that more visitors enjoyed the Savor the Central Coast event that Sunset Magazine put on, Savor the Central Coast, than they did the year before. So, and that was a good turnout the year before. So they said in late September, the whole thing drew nearly 10,000 people, up 11% from the previous year. So that's really good news right there. Visitors and Conference Bureau, you know, they just grin from ear to ear about that kind of stuff. So they did a good job of that, so good for them. It's kind of cool that it happened to us, you know, that the Sunset Magazine said, hey, we really like this, what goes on there, and we're going to do a thing and all that, and they're behind it. Bob Cuddy had an interesting column, but I won't get into reading it, but I'll just tell you about it. And that had to do with the fact of what's fit to print, you get to decide. So he mentioned all kinds of things that had to be decided on. How is this part of the public interest? Is this part of the right for people to know? And he gives a whole bunch of examples and says, okay, you decide what you should do. Yeah, you decide. And it's not as easy as you think, I'll tell you that. So it's... most of the time, I'm going to say this for the Tribune, most of the time when I see them put in the paper, I agree with. I mean, I would say 99% of the time I agree with what they put in the paper. The 1%, sometimes I shrug my shoulders and go, okay, yeah, that's just me. I've been around news for a long time, though, so I have some idea. I know I don't have a journalism degree, but all right, so anyway. But anyway, I have some notion of the news.
was a flash mob dancing outside outside of a hospital, but that's not going to mean anything to us. Okay, but there was a thing I wanted to share here. Oh, why not? It's Christmas time. It's an adult program, sort of. Anyway, so we'll see what they have to say about this. I just saw this headline just appeared. It's one of those, really? Really? Okay. Let's see what kind of commercial we have. Really?
Welcome to Wilkins Bank. For checking, press 1.
This will be saving. Ally Bank.
Checking.
Ally Bank.
Is that correct? For other options, press money. Saving. Fraud.
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally.
What had all these people lined up in the South End?
This is great that all these people came out. You know, it's fun.
It was a free giveaway that was so controversial, it originally got booted from City Hall Plaza. Condom maker Trojan handing out sex toys.
You save a little money. Yep. Why not?
The company says it handed out 10,000 of the adult devices today. And you may actually be surprised how some of the people here heard about the event.
My mom called me and told me that they were giving free things out.
Boston officials stepped in October when Trojan wanted to host the giveaway in front of City Hall, arguing against holding what many considered an X-rated event in a family-friendly area. Some moms in line say they just left their kids at home.
We dropped them off, yep. And we came straight in.
I guess it deserves a giggle or two. Who knows? You think City Hall was a little upset when they set out business in front there. Okay. Now, you know, they had this story yesterday we talked about. NASA to doomsday theorists. You're wrong. There is no doomsday coming up and all that. But it was a little bit disturbing to hear that people were saying, well, we might want to, you know, we might want to do things to our kids, or we might want to shoot ourselves, or whatever the thing is. Anyway, so that's really kind of weird. Let me share this with you. All right, here's another guy.
All for this year, 2012.
I'm talking the collapse of civilization.
The Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer, weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on CNN.
Steve Pace has been prepping for the end of the world for years.
I foresee the potential for a disaster that's catastrophic.
CNN caught up with him in 2009 as he prepared with food, weapons, even anti-radiation pills, all for this year, 2012.
I'm talking the collapse of civilization.
Pace is among the doomsdayers worried that December 21st, 2012, will be the last. That's the day when the ancient Mayan calendar is said to end.
Their calendar does not end.
But that talk of the end of the world, sheer nonsense, says top scientists. In this YouTube video that NASA put out, experts explain why it's just another day. Their scientists take all of the rumors one by one and debunk them. Among the theories is that a large planet known as Nibiru will have a close encounter with Earth, wreaking all kinds of havoc.
So this enormous planet is supposed to be coming toward Earth. But if it were, we would have seen it long ago. And if it were invisible somehow, we would have seen the effects of this planet on the neighboring planets.
Thousands of astronomers, expert and novice, see nothing of the sort. Another theory is that the planets will somehow align, causing devastating tidal waves. Two problems there. There is no planetary alignment taking place. And even if it were, only the moon and sun could have an effect on tides on the Earth, says NASA. Experts have also dismissed other theories, like the shifting of the Earth's magnetic poles or solar storms. To some, it may all sound like fantasy, but there are quite a few people who are really afraid, mostly because for the past several years, the Internet has been abuzz with talk of the world ending on December 21st, 2012. David Morrison, senior scientist at the NASA Astrobiology Institute, says he has been inundated with emails, including a message from two parents who said they were planning on killing their children and themselves ahead of the day.
That's what I was telling you about right there. It's like spooky stuff. Anyway, so that's really kind of, you know, that's beyond strange, obviously. So I don't know. It's amazing. It really is sort of amazing how not only media but the social media can get so involved in and can actually affect so much how people's minds work and how they think. It's just amazing to me. But that's the world we live in right now. That's the world we have. Other things going on. Templeton Street Market is going to stay where it is. I don't even know where it is, to tell you the truth, so it's confusing me all to death. They have to have 18 feet for two-lane traffic. So do they put it on the side, like the side, like you shop from the sidewalks, and as long as there's 18 feet for two lanes of traffic, is that how it is? I'm going to have to go. That's no question about it. I got to find out. You know, you can tell. The only way I'm going to find out some of this stuff is to, you know, get involved myself and do it. That's all there's. Now, this is a this was a kind of a weird story about the Savage Nile crocodiles cropping up in Florida. Did I tell you about that? Anyway, so they got these crocodiles from that are from the Nile that are catching up. Okay. Other things are going on. Other things that happened today. You might. They had a story in the news yesterday, I think it was, and the diagnosis manual gets an overhaul. So the manual they use, it's called DMDD, which is actually Asperger's disease, is what's that's what that is. Anyway, the nation's psychiatrist and anything says changes were approved on Saturday. So what they're basically doing is they're reclassifying, you know, if you got problems, what that problem may actually be called. See, Asperger's, they say, is actually a mild form of autism. So anyway, so they got together. It's better than these guys that, you know, name the body parts that I've always wondered about. Sorry, I think it's interesting. Yeah. So I have some ideas for you. A holiday that's made in America, how to find gifts. You can do it. You can find American-made gifts. It's not hard. Yeah. In other news. In other things. Now, here's what happened. Let me tell you the outcome of what happened with this whole thing with Bruce Gibson. So here's what happens. Sherry Aspiro, who works for Bruce Gibson, she's going to temporarily be put in the county clerk's office. Now, they're saying as of this moment, because he's the only one that can fire her, that when he hires somebody new, which he's going to have to do, when he hires somebody new, then she's going to have to get in line with everybody else to try to get a new job. Now, somewhere, I think it was in this article that said, But don't worry, because there's like 100 jobs available in the county right now. Have you gone to the county website? You find 100 jobs for me. I don't think so. Anyway, but that's the deal. So it seems more fair to a lot of people, and that's where that's going. So we'll see. All right. Jeannie Moos always has a fun time, and she's got a story we might get to if it ever plays. We'll see. Other things that are happening. Paso Robles Police Chief searched down to two finalists. Candidates from San Diego and Fresno compete for the job. Several locals submitted applications also. But these are the two that are there so far. So you might say, well, what about the local people? And you just have to say, I don't know how that works. Mm-hmm.
Guys, what if I told you that there was a holiday gift that is guaranteed to get her to take her clothes off every night? Get her a Pajamagram. Pajamagram has the best selection of the softest and most comfortable pajamas that she's sure to love.
Are we on a jag here?
Wrap her up in the hoodie footy, or you can make it a great holiday for both of you with our more playful pajamas. Call or go to pajamagram.com. Delivery is still guaranteed by Christmas Day, so order now.
Say it ain't so, Joe. The vice president invades Costco.
We're going to cut through the liquor section.
Forget driving a sleigh. Joe Biden didn't even drive his own cart. A Costco employee seemed thrilled to do the honors. His consumer confidence was high as the VP flashed his Costco card. Instead of elves, Joe Biden had the press pack in tow.
You guys, if you'll keep walking backwards, please. You guys, just go to the bakery section, please. You guys, go that way.
Imagine shopping for a watch with the press watching from behind every counter as Vice President Biden called his daughter.
Getting some guidance.
He looked at a $1,200 watch, but we don't know if he bought any watches. We do know what he ate. Every free sample in sight in the bakery section where he bought an apple pie.
It's a dilemma. Do you want to shake hands or do you want to eat?
Multi-grain bread cracker made locally by a local baker.
He shook and ate and put a package of crackers in his cart. Costco cost the vice president a lot of calories.
You're fat just walking through this.
Vice President Biden came to promote extending middle-class tax cuts. It probably didn't hurt that the co-founder of Costco was a big Obama contributor. Before he left, the VP used the phone of his cart driver, Ivy Stewart, to call her grandmother and leave a message. Ivy was so moved by the whole experience, she wiped away tears.
Thanks for shopping with me. And I know you won't tell anybody what I bought for Christmas yet.
Well, here's a hint from Nat King Cole's classic.
Chestnuts roasting on the dirt flame.
The Huffington Post held a caption contest for Joe Biden's checkout photo. Our favorite, stopped by for some fire logs, went home with a flat screen TV. 32 inches, Ginny Mo, CNN.
And the children sing.
That's funny. That's funny. Can you imagine being in the Secret Service in that situation and be like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? We got to take care of this guy. We got to make sure he's okay. Oh, I can't imagine. Okay, let's talk about other things that are happening. At 8 minutes now before 2 o'clock with Bill, and there was another thing I did want to mention to you. I haven't told you about this, have I? You know how a tree has rings? Guess what else has rings? A lobster. They found out it's inside the lobster. Here it is. The researchers found growth rings are found in the lobster's eye stalk and in teeth-like structures in their stomachs used to grind up food. So in their eyes, if you can count the lines, and a lobster, they don't blink or anything, so it shouldn't be that hard. But if you can count the eye, the thingies in the eyeball, the eye stalk, you can figure out how old the lobster is. You can also sort of tell by cooking it and eating it if it's really, really rough and tough and, you know, that kind of thing. And it weighed 12 pounds to begin with. It's probably pretty old. Yeah, it's telling you right there. Okay. Now, here's a big decision the Supreme Court's going to make, and that is whether companies can patent human genes. That's a big deal. You know, a lot of people say, well, you can't patent a human gene. It's a human gene. And yet other people are saying, well, yes, you can because you've isolated it and nobody else has, and then you can do something with it. So anyway, it's an interesting battle. It's basically, you know where you're going to fall on this one. It's on whatever side of the wallet you fall on. I mean, really is what it comes down to, because either you're going to say, well, that's really good because this, or that's really bad because it's going to cost me a lot of money. You know, that's really kind of what it comes down to right there. That's what I'm seeing right there. That's what I'm sticking to it, too. That's what I see. All right. So either way, you know, either way. Stevie Wonder called off a, this is interesting, he called off a concert in Israel because he's, I guess, an ambassador to the UN for about being a harmonica player that's blind or something. I don't know what he is. He's a goodwill ambassador of some kind. And so the UN said to him, perhaps you shouldn't be involved in this right now, considering how things are going over there. So he said, okay, fine. I didn't know being an ambassador is that important. Yeah, right there. Ben Campbell may be wrapping up a goodbye tour, but that doesn't mean he's done with the stage. Campbell's considering scheduling more shows next year after playing more than 120 days in 2012. So if people are still putting up with him, and he can still sing and all that kind of stuff, and it's still going for him, this is a man, this is a happy man, and that's all I can. He's a happy guy.
Don't worry. Be happy. Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Can I give you a hug?
give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Listen to what I say. In your life, expect some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. But don't worry. Be happy. Be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
Be happy till tomorrow at noon.
Well, we'll get together again right here on Talk of Sheep, your friends and neighbors, never with Bill Benek. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones and don't believe everything you hear here. Because,
this is Talk
because
of Sheep.
He interrupted me. Who?
The Friends and Neighbors Network. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you.
Time starts to pass before you know it, you're through.